So here, let's bring how I had a whole sheet prepared that I've been working on for quite a while. And then there are things that happen sometimes that you just switch gears completely. The gear switched, I think it was on Thursday, and I went into an office someplace in Yerushalayim. And it was one of those days that it was pouring. It was coming down, cats and balls. It's such a klotchit. And I come in and I was dripping wet. And this person sitting behind the desk makes the following statement that shook me. The person behind the desk says to me, I don't know why there's so much rain. Wait, you ain't heard nothing yet. Why is there so much rain coming down? We're not good. We're a bad people. Right? Okay. I've never heard anything like that. But I let the person continue, and the person says that he had figured it out, that since someday Mashiach is going to come and there's going to have to be blessing in the land, so the rain that's coming down now is in order to prepare for Mashiach. Okay? No, I believe me. I didn't explode. I controlled myself and I said, you know, we're not so good. There are 196 countries in the world. Pray tell me, is there one better than us? The person couldn't answer. Second statement that I made to this person was, you know there's an Issa, you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara on Klal Yisrael? Mm-hmm. Who made you the judge to decide that we're a bad people? Then when I told it over to my wife, so she came back with the retort that I usually use, but at that moment I didn't think of it. She says, well, obviously, should have told her, obviously, if it's raining and it's pouring, God decided otherwise. He decided that there are good people. So you're now in conflict with God. He decided we're okay. And he's sending us rain. But I saw from the way this statement was made, that person really felt that that was the frumer thing to say. With bad, with this, with that. It's some kind of a mindset. I don't understand it, but I think it's not as rare as one might think. There are people that are always finding fault with a lot of things. Without going into details, you know that I'm involved in an ongoing debate with a fellow rabbi friend of mine who has responded to my letter of 2 weeks ago, and basically I have the same problem with him. For example, if I can learn a pasuk in Torah and see it in a completely positive light, it's also possible to learn the pasuk in a completely negative light. I instinctively choose the positive light. One of the specifics of our struggle is with regard to Yaakov Avinu. Did Yaakov Avinu take unfair advantage of his brother's hunger? Did Yaakov Avinu, when Esav comes into the house and he is hungry, And he sees this pot of lentils. Give me that red stuff. So here, what happens? You read the psukim simply, you're left with the impression that Yaakov Avinu says to him, you're real hungry, yeah? You really need to eat? Okay. You know what? Take a whiff of this. Okay? I'll give you to eat if you sell me your birthright. I'm desperate. Yeah, I'll sell you the birthright. Okay. But remember, do you have your chotene with you, the seal? It's not legal unless you it's in quadruplicate. We need 4 copies of this. Now, there are about 10 places I want your initials and 5 places your home name. But I'm dying. No. I'm not giving you anything to eat until this is all finished. And then after a halchim mitzvah feast in Yenavel, and he has finished signing everything, then Yaakov gives him the lentil soup. That's one way of looking at it. That way is completely wrong. Completely wrong. The pasuk didn't say it. The pasuk never meant it. The Torah didn't say it. And it's all based on how you read 2 words. And I told you this over the years. After the whole sale is over, it says the following: for Yaakov Natan Le'Esav, and Yaakov gave to Esav lechem, bread that he didn't ask for, nizid adashim, this pot of lentils. Now the big question is, why doesn't it say the usual kind of terminology, va'yitain Yaakov, and Yaakov gave? Why does it say v'Yaakov natan? Why is the noun before the verb? So it's simple. Anybody who knows how to learn a pasuk from Mishnah knows that there's what's called past perfect. Past perfect means Yaakov natan, means Yaakov had given. What do you think Yaakov Avinu is? His brother comes in, says he's hungry, he's going to die. Yaakov instantly gave him to eat. All of the negotiations took place after he gave him to eat. That's the only way to learn the parasha, if one knows how to read a pasuk. So here you have, you can either learn it the way it would seem superficially, that Yaakov is taking unfair advantage of his brother's hunger, or you can read it the way you're supposed to read it. For Yaakov natan, Yaakov had given. And by the way, this past perfect appears in a number of places in Tanakh, very significant. I'll just give you. Well, there's going to be one example in next week's Seder, in Parshas Mishpatim. In Parshas Mishpatim, at the end of the Parsha, it says, after all the laws of Parshas Mishpatim, it says, Vel Yaakov, Vel Moshe Omar. God said to Moshe, it doesn't say, Bar Yom, Vel Moshe, Vel Moshe Omar. And to Moshe, he had said, and Rashi immediately says, that Parsha, at the end of Mishpatim, is really before Torah was given at Sinai in Parashat Yitro, Parashat before. It's a flashback. And when we say a flashback, you use past perfect. Ve'el Moshe Omar, and to Moshe he had said. Doesn't mean it happened now. Vayomer El Moshe is what it would have said, if it meant that it happened now. You have another example when in Sefer Shmuel, when Shmuel dies, it says, Vayomer Shmuel. Right? 3-4 chapters later, it says, the chapter begins, Shmuel met. Because what the pasuk is doing now is flashing back, like, and Shmuel had died, And therefore, now that Saul found himself in terrible straits, he had nobody to turn to. So there's a big difference between a direct, Vayomer Shmuel means, and he died now. If it wanted to say that Yaakov gave him to eat only after the neshuma was going out, and he had taken terribly unfair and cruel advantage of his brother's hunger, it would have said, Vayitain Yaakov, and Yaakov gave. But it says, Vayakov Natan. Yaakov Natan means he had given earlier. So there are two possibilities of how to learn the parasha. One is extremely negative. One paints Yaakov Avinu a picture of an unfeeling and an uncaring and an unconcerned. We're talking about somebody who is the brink of cruelty. And then there's another, Yaakov Avinu, take advantage of his brother's hunger. Even if it's not a brother, it's a human being who's hungry. You give him to eat. Never a doubt in his mind. And all the negotiations took place afterwards. That's the real and the true way to learn the parsha. Here, my person in the office just looked at things from an extremely negative point of view. It's all negative. There's blessing coming down. Rain in Eretz Yisrael. I've quoted it 1,000 times. Soloveitchik says it's a direct message from the Rabbi Yishalem. A direct message. It's an email. It's a fax. It's a phone call. God is pouring out blessing. And this poor person, why is God doing this? It's so bad. So the shiur is going to be on with regard to the halacha of, you know, I speak all you want, I'm calling as well. Now, if you think this is not related to Parshat HaShavua, of course, you're making a terrible mistake. Not only are you not allowed to talk about Klal Yisrael as a whole, you're not allowed to say Lashon Hara about any particular segment or group. In other words, Israelis, Olim, Hungarians, there's something to talk about. Yekis, what are you talking about? Ethiopians, heaven forfend. You're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. You're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara about any particular group. The guys in that shul, they're a bunch of... By the way, there's even a famous story with the Chavetz Chaim. I don't know why, somebody just told it to me last week. Like, people, it's Hashgacha Pratis, how God prepares my shiurim for me. See, so this guy's telling me a famous story. Some person came to Raden, that's where Chavetz Chaim lived, and he comes into shul, and he sees an elderly Jew there, and he asks him, like, where is the Chavetz Chaim? I want to go see the Chavetz Chaim. So he gives him instructions how to get to the Chavetz Chaim's house. The fellow who's asked says, why do you want to go see the Chavetz Chaim? So he says, what are you talking about? He says, Sadek Hadar, I want to see the Chavetz Chaim. So this fellow sitting in the shul says, he's overrated. He's overrated. Not such a big Sadek. Ain't going well. It's not this fellow gives out. This fella, fraskin upon him, you understand? Don't you dare speak that way about the Chofetz Chaim. Finally, he makes his way to the Chofetz Chaim's house, and he comes in. It's the guy in shul who he asked for directions to the Chofetz Chaim's house. And the man says, I struck the Chofetz Chaim. So he says, you know what I learned from you? I learned from you, you're not even allowed to talk Lashon Hara about yourself. That's what I learned from you. I had no business speaking Lashon Hara about myself. So right, now of course we have to take you like, what does this have to do with the parasha? They're going to be fascinating. The Rambam, we know the Rambam mostly of course from his major, halachic work, the Hazaka, the Mishnah Torah. Brilliant jurist, posek of the highest order. Every word that he writes there is studied and restudied generation after generation. He was awesome. The Rambam is the author of the Moreh Nevuchim, which is a philosophical tract of great profundity. We also know him as the great commentator of the Mishnah. 23, he started writing and completed a commentary on all of Mishnah. But there's one other group of works of the Rambam in which what appears to us is a completely different Rambam. Not the intellectual, not the great posek, not the great philosopher. His letters. There are letters of the Rambam. In the letters, the Rambam appears as a compassionate, concerned, involved, down-to-earth Jew who understands and feels the pain of a fellow Jew anywhere in the world. If you want to see the mind of the Rambam, you see it in his Yad HaChazaka, the Mishnah Torah. If you want to see his heart, you have to go to his letters. I want to take a segment of a letter and learn that with you today. The letter is called Igeret Hashmad. It's right there at the top of the first page, Igeret Hashmad. The letter at the time of forced conversion, or Maimer, in some places were called the treatise on Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of God's name. The historic background to this is the following. We're talking about 12th century. 12th century, so there were, lo and behold, there were Islamic groups that were extreme. You know, terrorists, killers, you know. The Almohades. The Almohades, they conquered North Africa. Part of Spain was the Muslim Spain. And wherever they came riding with their hordes, their message to the Jewish community was, you have to accept Allah as God and Mohammed as his prophet. And if not, die by the sword. Jews were in a terrible quandary. The fact is, and Jews knew this, that if you make this declaration, Allah is God and Mohammed is his prophet, they'll leave you alone. You can go about your, in the privacy of your home, you can daven, you can eat kosher, you can eat Shabbos, Pesach, Yom. They never bothered with that. They wanted that declaration. You don't make the declaration, death. Instant. So here, Jewish communities across North Africa, the western section of North Africa, were in a terrible quandary. They sent a shayla to some great man in Baghdad. And this man in Baghdad sent back the following answer. Basically, his answer was, you have to give your life rather than make that statement. And anybody who does not make that statement is no longer counted as a member of the Jewish people. He cannot be counted for a minyan. He is considered like a goy. When the Rambam heard about this, the great intellectual, the scholar, rose to the challenge, and you can feel in that letter his anger at this fellow who lives far from the madding crowd, doesn't know what Klal Yisrael is suffering from, and he come up with a psak halacha that is so bad and so wrong. There are some people who see black, and then there are some people who see white. The Rambam saw with clarity and with beauty. Jews were losing their lives. They were giving their lives. So said Posek of Baghdad. It was a terrible. So the Rambam decided he's going to write, and he wrote. And this letter, of course, is we have it at Hayom Hazeh. It's a classic piece of profound literature. We're going to give you just one segment of it. I've divided the segment into a few parts, and at different points I've included a little papyrus that will elaborate on it. Let's go. Vato, atchil va'er godel ha'ta'ut ma'chenichshal bo ha'oni hazeh. Now I'm going to explain the great mistake that this poor fellow fell into. Umasha also ba'atzma, what he did to himself also, v'hulo yada, he doesn't even know what a terrible mistake he made. Ve'chosha v'lasos tova'achas, he thought that by pastoring for Klal Yisrael, he's doing a great deed. V'kono ho'z rabos, and he acquired for himself so much bad. It's terrible what this man has done. He brought many proofs to his position that simply don't have anything to do with it. He's off the wall. He doesn't understand what's happening. And he wrote at great length, and then a beautiful comment. He followed his pen, like his pen kept writing over there, and it was without thinking. And he doesn't really know how to deal with this question. Va'omar, Shachafursam Dinre Rabotenu Zekronon Racha. So I'm going to tell you the following. What was very well known, in the words of our rabbis, a blessed memory. Sheyisrael b'mei Moshe Kodom Tzeitoni Mitzrayim, Israel in the days of Moshe before they went out of Egypt. Hifzidu Darkom, they had ruined the paths upon which they should have been traveling. They failed to pay to Mila, and they did not keep the covenant of Mila. The only ones who were circumcised were the tribe of Levi. In other words, my person from the beginning of this year would be, you know, we're bad people. They were a bad people. Here we're talking, the Rambam saying, That there seems to be indication that they were really a bad people. Until the relation gave them the mitzvah of Pesach. They have a mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Anybody who is uncircumcised cannot eat it. Therefore God commanded in Pasha Bo, there's the commandment that everybody should undergo circumcision. And those few days before that great Pesach of Mitzrayim, all of Klal Yisrael was circumcised, and then they were able to bring the Korban Pesach because they're circumcised. This is what our wise men said. Moshe did the Mila of Yoshua Torea, and Yoshua would complete the incision. The Aaron, Moses, and Aaron would remove the blood. The Osuarelos, Chamorim, Choram, they had foreskins piled up. Hundreds of thousands of foreskins. The Yodam Mila mit Aveiv, the Dam Pesach. The blood of their circumcision mixed with the blood of the Korban Pesach. And that's why they became worthy of being redeemed. That's the word of God to Yechezkel. And this pasuk appears in the Haggadah. And now you'll understand why it's in the Haggadah. God says to Yechezkel, I saw you in Egypt. Midboseset b'domayet. You are wallowing in your blood. And I said to you, live by your blood. By the way, we say this at a bris. Our rabbi said, Shahim Chilkulu Badayers, Lidvar Hashem, Ben Odom Shtayim Noshim Benos Emachos Hayim. And they had also sinned with immorality. Ve'im Heyosom Be Zehoyanara, even though they were in such a low, in a bad state. We're bad people, understand? When Moshe Rabbeinu said, Allah Hashem, a blessed memory, the Hain Lo Yamina Lee, by the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to come to the Jewish people and tell them that God is taking to take them out of Egypt. Hain Lo Yamina Lee, they're not going to believe me. Below Yeshua B'Koli, they're not going to listen to me. God condemned them about it. And he said to Moshe, how do you speak this way about the Jewish people? They are believers, the son of believers. Diksiv, as it says later, and the people believe. They are the sons of believers. Diktiv, because it says, by Avram, Avram believed in God. By Achshivoya, lo tzedok, and God considered righteousness. Avalatah, you Moshe, who accused the Jewish people of not being believers, Ein Sof Holah Amen. The end is, you're not going to believe. The thing, because it says, by the waters of contention, Yan lo hemantem bi lahargisheni, you did not believe in me to sanctify me. V'nenesh la'alter, and it was immediately punished. K'mo shaber alem ha'shom, as our rabbis explained. Ha'choshet b'ksheden, somebody who suspects people who are really good, loke b'gufo, struck in his body. Minolam, the word says, how do we know that somebody who suspects somebody else unjustly is punished? We learn it from Moshe. Now, what's happening over here is the following. Let's not lose sight of the fact for a moment that Moshe is the greatest human being who ever lived. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants to teach us certain lessons, and he teaches it via these great people. Moshe Rabbeinu uttered a statement out of his mouth that could be understood as a negative statement about Klal Yisrael, immediately punished. The Rebbeinu doesn't want anybody to speak ill of Klal Yisrael. Oh, I'm going to show you a few fascinating Gemaras. So now I just want to give you that section one of the Rambam. I'm just going to give you the explanation of it. Back in Parashat Shemot, Vayam Moshe Vayomer, Moshe answered and said, "Hang on, Yaminu Libel Yishmi Pekoli. They're not going to live. Believe me, they won't listen to me. To Yomu, because they're going to say, 'Lo Vido Eilech Hashem, God did not appear to you.'" Vayomer El Hashem said, "God says to me, 'Maseh Piyelcho.' What is it that you have in your hand?" Vayomer Moshe said, "Mater. It's a staff." Vayomer God said, "Hashem Chiyuwarzo, cast down on the ground." Vayashem Chiyuwarzo, and he cast down on the ground. Vayilu Nachosh, and it turned into a snake. We're going to see Rashi is going to say, you know why he turned into a snake? In order to send a message to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know? You said something you should not have said about Klal Yisrael. Like the Nachash. Vayonas Moshe Miponam, and Moshe said to him, Vayomer Hashem Eloshe, Moshe said, Shlach Yocha, stretch out your hand, Ve'achos bismavo, hold it by its tail. He stretched out his hand, he held on to it, and he turned it back into a staff in his hand. Leman Yaminu, you're going to show this to the Jewish people so that they shall believe that the God of their fathers appeared to them. God told him, do another thing. Put your hand, put your hand into your bosom. He put his hand and he took it out. Behold, his hand is all white from the spiritual leprosy. Hashem said, put your hand back. He put his hand back. He took it out. It's back. His skin is healthy again. An indication, Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to be very, very careful in how you speak about Klal Yisrael. So then he says, "Im lo yaminu, if they're not going to listen to the, if they will not believe because of the first sign, then they will believe because of the second sign, and if not for the two miracles, there's a third one. The third one is going to be that he's going to turn water into blood in their path." By the way, two things have to be said at this point. Even after the Rebbeinu Shel Olam condemns Moshe for having spoken ill, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself seems to be admitting, you know, they may not believe, we're going to have to do a number of things in order that they should believe. In a sense, the Rabbeinu Shem is agreeing with Moshe, but despite that, from a man of Yisrael, you have to be careful how you speak about that. More than that, one of my golden olden shiurim of decades ago about Moshe Rabbeinu, I learned a completely different pshat, and they're not going to believe me, and they're not going to listen to my voice, and they're going to say, God didn't appear to you. I'd ask many questions about how can he put words into the mouth of the Jewish people that they're not going to believe him? That was a great shiur. You know, if you can find your way how to navigate, I have to say, in all humility, if you can navigate your way on the website, then you can find Moshe at the snare. Wow. I had special shout of the Shmaya there. Like I had this week, you know, meeting this person who told me about the rain. But I had explained, Moshe Rabbeinu did not really question the faith of Klal Yisrael. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying? Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Rabbeinu Shem, do you know what's happening here, Rabbeinu Shalom? For years, the Jewish people are suffering in Egypt. There's only one person in the world who's not suffering with them. You know who that is? That's me. Rabbeinu Shem, I'm the only one who's not there suffering. Moshe says, any Jew in Mitzrayim who is suffering with them is infinitely more roy and worthy to be the savior of the Jewish people. Rabbeinu Shem, find somebody with numbers on his arm. He's a greater savior, more worthy to be a savior than me. Moshe Rabbeinu was really saying, Hein lo yaminu li, me, they're not going to believe. Lo yishu'u b'koli, they're not going to listen to me. Ki yomru, because they're going to say, Lo nira eilech Hashem, God did not appear to you. Moshe Rabbeinu was not casting aspersions on the belief of the people of Israel, but he feels unworthy. And it's precisely because he feels so unworthy and he sees that any Jew in the world is more suited to be the Redeemer. That's precisely why God wants him and only him. That's why for 7 days those that remain at the burning bush until he finally convinces him to go. Even after all that is said and done, Moshe Rabbeinu said a word out of his mouth that could be mistaken or construed as something negative about Klal Yisrael. And the Rashi says, don't open up your mouth about Klal Yisrael. Next slide. Number three. There are a number of Rashis over here. I already said the Rashis, basically. Vayehi l'nachash, it turned into it became a snake. You know what? Ramazlo. God is sending a hint to Moses. Shesipa l'shon hara Yisrael turns into a snake because God wants to send a hint that you spoke evil of the Jewish people. You can't do that. Ka'omro. God is saying to Moshe, when he said, lo yaminu li, they will not believe me. V'tofas unuto shel nachash. Moshe adopted, so to speak, the craft of the snake to speak evil. And then his hand was mitzorat, kasholeh, stricken with tzaraz. Derech tzorat, tzaraz is usually white. And then it says, avvozeh, also with this sign, ramazlo, God is hinting to him, shaloshon harasi per. He spoke derogatory talk about the Jewish people when he said, lo yaminu li, they are not going to believe me. And therefore, he was smitten with tzaraz. Just like Miriam, when she spoke about Moshe, she was also struck with tzaraz. When you will tell the Jewish people that you were struck with tzaraz because you spoke evil of them, you're going to tell them, I was stricken on your account. Moshe is going to tell the Jewish people, you know, I was stricken because I spoke Lashon Hara about you. Ya'aminu lach, they will believe you. She'kvar lomdu bekach, she'amizdavin lohar alahem, lokim b'negoyim, because you know what Jews have already learned? That those who start up with them are ultimately going to be struck with the tzaras. It happened to Paro, and it happened to Avimelech, when they took Sarah. So the message is being sent, beware of speaking Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. I reject the idea, we're such a bad people, why is God bringing us rain? But I'm afraid that it's the kind of talk or thought that is not so rare in certain segments of our community. Let's go to the next one, number four. This is the Rambam again. We're back to the Rambam's letter. So first the Rambam spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he says now, what about Eliyahu Hanavi? Ukmokan Yisrael, the male Eliyahu Yisrael, the days of Eliyahu, Hayukulam Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Beratzon. But this is such, like, I would be afraid to write something of this sort. It's just that the end is going to be good. But I'm not ready to agree that all of them worshipped Avodah Zarah except the 7,000 and did it willingly. Levad Mishirat Alof accepted the 7,000. Allah Mikhaim, the Pasuk says, the knees that did not bow to Baal, Valaper Shalom Nashaklom, and 7,000 mouths that had not kissed Baal. The impulse there, notice they're bad people. Kisha Omar, Lelame, Chov, Agisro, Bechorev, when Eliyahu finds himself in Midbar Sinai and he speaks evil of the Jewish people. Watch this! God said to him, what are you doing out here in Midbar Sinai? He fled from the Jewish people and he's out in the desert. What are you doing here, Eliyahu? So Eliyahu says, I have been zealous for God, the God of hosts. Ki azu briska b'nei Yisrael. The Jewish people have forsaken your covenant. Amalo, so the Rebbeinu says to him, remember the Yiddish term, machzich tanavata? Somebody sort of, you play like you don't know it. The Rebbeinu says to Elio, Shemo Britcho? Maybe your covenant they broke. What? Me? Break my covenant? I don't know what you're talking about. Amalo, Eliyahu continues and he says, "Ach mizbechotecho harasu, they have shattered your altars." Amalo, the Rebbeinu says, "My altars? Shema, maybe mizbechecho, your altars, not mine." Amalo, that neviyecho harbu bechorav, and they have killed your prophets by the sword. Amalo, so God said to him, but wait a minute, Eliyahu, you're still here. The truth is that everything that Eliyahu said was true. Also, Britcha, Isabel had killed Nebuchadnezzar, everything was true. You know what? Rabbeinu doesn't want to hear people who speak evil about Klal Yisrael. I'm going to prove it to you yet. So you know what Rabbeinu does? Amalo, so wait a minute, this is still Eliyahu saying, but wait a minute, what do you tell me I'm alive? I alone remained. Of all the prophets, take my life too. Listen to what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says to Eliyahu. And this is, so here at least I feel it's a little similar to what I said to the person in the office.
Before
you can come ahead and speak evil about Israel, you don't have enough nations in the world, there are 196 nations in the world, you can't say bad about them, there's a lot to say bad about them. My kindleach, don't you say evil about my kindleach. Sheyesh lan beis havad,
Thank you, Spirit, for the Zohar, the nations of the world, their houses are all houses of the Zohar.
But to Lamech Chovah Yisrael, you have nothing better to say than to find fault with the Jewish people.
Shenema, Azuvota, Orei, Aruwe. Lech Shuv, the dark, come in Parod, God tells him, go. Go out to the desert of Damascus, up in the north. Kol Zen, move on, Lechakonim. The Medrash Hasid. The Medrash Shir HaShirim brings all of this. The Rebbeinu was telling Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, Eliyahu HaGiladi, be very careful how you speak about the Jewish people. By the way, you know what happened as a result of this? You know what the Rebbeinu told him? You know what? Wherever there's a bris milah in the world, from now until eternity, you're going to be there. The child is put on Kisei Shel Eliyahu at a bris, and then you know what you do afterwards? He returns heavenward every day, and he says, you're right, I was by this bris, I was by the other bris, I was by the next bris, I've been by all of these bris. He's been reporting for well over 2,500 years. Ukumokain, and also Yisrael Bizman Yeshayahu Hiriku Avonot. In the days of Yeshayahu, they sinned, Kamosha Omar, as it says in the first chapter of Yeshayahu. Hoi goi koite am keved avon zera medein bonim ashchisin niyatsu et kadosh Yisrael nozoru achor. Oi! A nation of sinners. For how you behave, you have it dissolved. The Rambam goes on to say they were idolaters, the Moshe Amar, Vachar Adelas, the Mezuzah, Santos, behind the door, where nobody can see, that's where you had your idols. For how you behave, Kamokin Shofkin Domin, they were murderers, Kamokin Amas, it says in the first chapter, Eicho Hoysol Zona. This is the chapter of Shabbos Chazon, the first chapter in Yeshayahu. How did the city of Yerushalayim stray so far? Once there was tzedek in the city, va'apah now medatzkin murderers. Who come out came to Chalei Shem Shemayim. The Rambam knows how to list all of the Averis of Klal Yisrael, so he's doing a good job. There were those who desecrated the name of God. Kamo Shamas, it says, Achol v'shosol ki machor namut. Let's eat and drink today, because tomorrow we shall die. Which was really a rejection of, there's no judgment and there's no judge. Nobody cares about our mitzvahs, nobody cares about our Averis. That's good. Ubozul mitzvos Hashem. Kamo Shamas, suru minitera, hatu miniyora, hajbisu jubeinu kadosh Yisrael. We're not interested in anything. Being called Zer, despite the fact that they were dead people, Bishvil Sha'amah, because Yeshayahu uttered the following words, Ubetoch Am Tmei Sfatayim Anokhi Yoshev, I live amongst the people whose lips are unclean and impure. Miyad, this is in the Haftorah for Parashat Yitro. So I got you to Parashat Hashatullah. And we're going to see the text. Yeshayahu says, I dwell in the midst of a people whose lips are tamei. Miyad, immediately, one of the seraphs, one of the burning angels of God, flew over to me, and in his hand he had a coal. And he touched the coal to my lips. You know, like we used to tell our children if they said something we shouldn't say. I mean, wash your mouth out with Ajax. Or Samokol, or Samodish. The mouth flies over to him, puts the coal out of his lips, and he says, now your sin is forgiven. Yeshayahu said a word about Klanya, shouldn't have said it. And the Rashi brings Chazal saying Ritzpah. It is really a play on another word. Ritzpah means a cold, but you know what else it means? Ritzotzpeh. Crush the mouth that speaks evil of Klal Yisrael. Crush that mouth. That's what the Rosh Hashanah says to Yishayahu. Oh, you know, careful what has to be when they speak about Klal Yisrael. V'nagalpi, he touched the coal to my mouth, and he said, "Hinei nagazel svatecha." This has touched your lips. V'soravonech v'chatoschot kupa. Your sin will be removed, and your transgression will be forgiven. V'lo kupra. This is the most difficult thing of all. He was not forgiven for that sin. Yeshayahu, sometime in his late 90s or more, he must have been over 100, because he said Nevuah for 90 years. And the end is, he was killed by Menashe, king of Yehuda. Only with his death at the hand of Menashe was it forgiven. He said a bad word about Klal Yisrael. Number 6 is from the Haftorah. You know what the story of the Haftorah is? It's the 6th chapter of Yeshayahu. And the fact is, all the Mepharshim say that this 6th chapter of Yeshayahu is really the beginning of Yeshayahu, the first time that he sees a vision of God. And you know what he sees? He sees that he's standing up in heaven, and he sees the angels, the God's throne, and he hears them saying, Kadosh, 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 Hashem, Tzvakot, Lo, Chol Haaretz, Kibodo. It's an awesome vision that Yeshayahu sees. And God says, the voice is going to ask him, Mi Eshlach, whom shall I send to the Jewish people, who Mi Eleich Lo? When he sees what he sees up there in heaven. So number 6 for Omar, I said, Oli kidid meisi, what was for me, I shall die kish, to meis latayim anochi. I am a man of unclean lips, ubitoch am to meis latayim anochi yoshe, and I live amongst the people whose lips are unclean. Ki asar melacha, why am I going to die? Because I've seen the King God with my eyes. One of the Srafim flew over to me, the other mitzvah in his hand. There was a mitzvah, a coal, b'melkachayim. The Srafim alachim, and this coal was so hot that the Saraf could not hold it. He had to hold it with tongs. And he put it onto the mouth of Yeshayahu. Vayagalpi, and he touched my mouth, and he said, Hinei nogazel svatecha, this has touched your lips, the saravanecha, your sin will be, your iniquity is removed, and your sin shall be atoned. And I heard the voice of God asking, who will God? Right. Now, you have to be very careful. We're going to number 7. It has to say number 7. Continuation of the Rambam. So the Rambam has now told us about Moshe. Plitat peh, we would say. You know? He said, they're not going to believe me. No, Moshe, don't speak that way about Klal Yisrael. Yeshayahu said, I'm in the midst of a people, what, Tmeis or Tanya? No. No good. By the way, when one reads the paper in the morning, you know, there are different reasons why you read the paper. I always tell you that I read the paper in the morning so I know what to pray for. The problem is there's so much crazy news, I'm all confused already about what to pray for. It's Hassan Zalam and Anissa Mishina. You should have done that 10 years ago. What's about it? All of these guys are fighting around, and then there's the good news, of course, that the PLO and Hamas, for the 50th time, have signed an agreement to unify Christ. But you know what? Hashgacha Pratis. Little item. I think the person who told me last week, don't know why it's raining with such a bad people. Listen to this little item. It's a beautiful item. The Kinneret's water levels measured in at 212.975 meters below sea level Monday morning, just above the 213-meter bottom red line.
Oh.
Moving up. The first time during this rainy season that the basin has topped that barrier. The basin's level has risen over 11 centimeters from the beginning of the month, according to Water Authority data. This achievement follows a very rainy January in the north, which featured the longest continuous stretch of rainy days since 1987, and the most rainy days in total since 1947. From before the establishment of the state, you understand? But we know why is God doing this to a bad people, or for a bad people? So you have a kasha? You have a kasha? So in other words, but I read this item in the Jerusalem Post this morning. That the Rebbe Shalom is pouring out blessing. But you know what the meaning of the blessing is? The meaning of the blessing is, if an Ahmad and Yitzhak and all the rest of the guys over there think that they're going to be able to harm a hair on a Jewish head, they're making a big mistake. Because the Rebbe Shalom is looking after us. He's taking care of us. And he's not going to let those who show you do anything. It's a different, we're in a different stage in history. It's all different now. These guys are not going to get away with anything. I'm still hoping and praying that I get up one morning and I find out that they blasted the kishkis out of Ahmad and Yitzhak. It's going to happen. You see that? There's bracha. And when you see Shefa bracha, you have to say to Rabbi Shalom, thank you. Thank you. You don't turn to him and say, why are you doing for these bad people? Face all day, Shalom. So we learned now about Moshe, and we learned about Eliyahu, and now the third one, this is the column, number 7 is the column, continue. כאשר אומר המלך ולימד חובה יהושע בן נון צודק בשביל דבורם שהיו נויסים נושם שאינם נורי הסכונה. When Zerubbabel Bavel came back to Eretz Yisrael after the Babylonian exile, that Kohen Gadol was Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol. And the Malach, there was a Malach who spoke evil about Yehoshua ben Yotzodeh because his sons had married women who were unworthy to be married to Kohanim. Hirchito Akel, God removed that Malach. Kemoshom, as it says, Yigar Hashem b'cho ha-satan, v'yigar Hashem b'cho ha-bochev Yerushalayim. God is angry with you. The one who chooses Yerushalayim is angry with you. Halo ze'ud mutzal me'yesh. Do you know what Yeshua is? He's an ember that has been saved from the fire. He came from Auschwitz. He came from the suffering of God's father. Watch how you talk about him. So now the Gemara concludes, in Kach Nenshu Amudei Olamim, this is how pillars of the world were punished. Moshe, Eliyahu, Yeshayahu, Umalachei Sharei, and the angels, Kishenosu Ba'adat Yisrael Ma'ad Dvarim, when they said very small, not such significant things, wasn't really bad. He didn't say they were bad people. If this is the way they were punished, Koshen Kal Mikale Olam. Now he's finally going after the rabbi of Baghdad. A lightweight of the lightweights of the world. Yatir Lishonor Kehilat Yisrael shall open up his mouth and let his tongue go against communities of Israel. Chachamim v'tamidehem, Kohanim Levim, Likrol come to call them Poshim u'rishoyim. If they say that Mohammed is the messenger of God, hey, how do you say that? By the way, the term Pershing and Shame, I've had young men in my house understand, you start talking to them, but what they say about Netanyahu, I'll tell you, Meretz would love to hear it, and Livni would love to hear it. Netanyahu by then is a Russian, this stuff rolls off their mouths and they don't have any idea. The Torah is threatened, that's not, you're not allowed to talk like that. The guy of Sulayanus, this rabbi of Baghdad said that anybody who makes that statement that Muhammad is prophet is considered like a guy, he cannot bear testimony in a Jewish court. The Kaifim Hashem Elokeinu still, and they are rejecting God, the God of Israel. The code says, Hadar Hazem, Ksav Yado, and the meaning that had the nerve of writing, he wrote this with his own hand. The Rabbah was supposed not to reject it completely. Who cares if you say from today to tomorrow that Muhammad is his prophet? Yeah, Muhammad, initial Muhammad. It's nothing, there's no idolatry, there's nothing wrong. You should give your life rather than make that statement? Of course not. What's going to be the punishment for this fellow? If Moshe and Yeshayahu were punished for very, 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 very simple, really not bad sentences, this fellow who's calling points of kosher and shoyim and patient, do you hear the indignation of the Chanan coming mitoch from the very depths of his soul? This is a leader of Klal Yisrael with a heart that embraces all of Klal Yisrael. Those Jews who make the statement in order to save their lives, they are not rebelling in God, against God because they want a good life and they want pleasure. Below Oslo, they didn't leave the Jewish religion, they continued to keep Torah and Mitzvahs. And they did not remove themselves in order to give up Torah and Mitzvahs, in order that they should achieve greatness of position, the Tanuge Asman, and the pleasures of the time. They did all of this because of the sword, before the sword that is spread out against them. And because of the bow that is being tensed to kill them. Of course you can do it. Of course. Because of the heaviness of war. This man doesn't know she'ilu she'inam koshin b'ritzonam lo yazvem ha'keil v'lo yitshein. Those who do something not because they want to, but because they are coerced, God will not forsake them. God will not remove them. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to be there with them. V'lo boza v'lo shikets enut ani. God does not shame nor embarrass the suffering of a poor person. Kamo shomer aleim hashom, as the rabbi said, v'yorech et re'ah begodav. When Yaakov comes into Yitzhak for the bracha, and he's wearing the garments of Esau, Yitzhak smelled the scent of his clothing. Al tikri begodav chazal zeh. Don't read it begodav his garments, and the Bogdav, his traders, even the trader of Klal Yisrael, is also part of the Klal. Ela Amar, Kol Masha Amar Upada Milibo, everything that the rabbi of Baghdad said, everything he said, he made it up. It's all fantasy, it's all not true. You have to be careful how you open up your mouth like Klal Yisrael. I'm going to do 8, 9, and 10. In number 8 it says, look where it's on the line. When Moshe goes out on the second day, he meets up with Dasan Avivam. He says, and they say, who made you a leader over us? Vayidom Moshe was frightened by Yom, and he said, Ochein Odah Davar, now the matter is known. Amar lehem, he said to them, Yesh b'neichem l'shon hara. They threatened that they were going to tell Paro on him. He says, Oy, der l'shon hara nitzvay klal Yisrael. V'heichatem ru'uyim l'gula. How can you be worthy of redemption? Number nine is so beautiful. One of the shoftim was Gidon. Gidon was no great Talmud Chacham, no great pious fellow. Klal Yisrael was suffering under Amon, who was terrible, 18 years. And then the Malach comes and appears to Gidon. So it says the following, Omar, the second line, Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shalom, Shalom, Rabbi Yehuda the son of Rabbi Shalom said, Sheyu matin umelamdim aleim zchut l'shnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A shofet is supposed to judge mishpat tzedek, righteousness. You know what God wants from the shofet? That they should find zchus for Klal Yisrael. We don't want them to condemn Klal Yisrael. How do you know that a shofet has to look for justice and goodness? In other words, if you can learn that Yaakov Avinu took unfair advantage of his brother, or you can learn that Yaakov Avinu did exactly what was right, which one should you choose? For Shoftos Aon Mishpat Tzedek, God wants you to judge righteously. From who you learn it from? Migidon ben Yoash. There was a shofet called Gidon Yoash, Shebiyama from Yisrael Mitzorah. In his days, Israel were in great travail. Boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mevakesh Odom, Shiyalamed Aleim Sukh. You know what he wanted in the time when Klal Yisrael was down? He wanted somebody to find schus. He wanted somebody to say something good about Klal Yisrael. For all your months, he didn't find. Shohi Ador down the mitzvahs of the Masih, because the generation was poor in mitzvahs and in good deeds. Kivan Shininsha Schus Begidon. He found a Schus and Gidon Shalina Alain Schus. Gidon wasn't a godly Israel, but he spoke well of Kaisu. Miyad Nidla Olav HaMalach, immediately the Malach appeared to him. Shenem Abayovo, I love Malach Hashem. The Malach Hashem came after Gidon had said good things about Kaisu, and he told him, Lech Bekochachor Zeh. Go with this great strength. What great strength did Gideon have? He spoke well of the Jewish people. That's what God wants to hear. He's not interested in anybody who's going to speak ill of Klal Yisrael. Why is he bringing so much rain? We're bad. So there is the Rafi. One final sentence. In the seventh parak of Yahushua, second battle after the Battle of Yeriko, the Battle of Ai. At the Battle of Ai, Israel is defeated. And Yahushua prostrates himself before God and says, Confession, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? They're going to surround us. They're going to destroy us. So God says to him, there's a sinner here. Israel has sinned. They've taken from that which they should not take. So I have number 10 is the Gemara. Yahushua turns to the Rebbein Shalom and he says, who's the one that sinned? Who's the one that sinned? So the Rebbein Shalom says four words, it's underlined. V'chi dilator anochi l'cha? Am I to be your tail bearer? I'm going to be the dilator? I'm going to speak Lashon Hara? Not on your life. I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara even about a Jew who sinned. And he tells him, go before the Aron and let the Aron tell you, I'm not going to say anything. The Galatian was careful. We have to be careful. That's one of the great things that we learn from the Haftorah. But Toham to me so time and open your shape. Vay. Burn your mouth out with a coal. Ritzfah. Ritzotzpah. You have to be very careful. God is good to us. You know why God is good to us? Because it's not true how odd of God to choose the Jews. He knew exactly who he was choosing. He knows exactly. And Klal Yisrael is a good people. And there were two items in the Haftorah this week. One item was that the second most educated country in the world is Israel. Canada is first, Israel is second, America is 4 or 5, England must be about 72 or 73. I'm sorry. And you see what I just now did? I just now spoke Russian and then there was another item. There was another item that says that someplace between 85% to 90% of Jews in this country believe in God. The left has been trying to tell us that we're living in a secular country. We're not living in a secular country. Day by day, this country is becoming more of a religious country. That's the way you're supposed to look at it. But if you walk around, and there are people, there are those who walk around already for the last 100 years, we're a bunch of Rishayim, and we're this, and we're that, Siddish Temes. Akhaefel, the Shinchaefel, me, Amcha Yisrael, Goy, Echon, what?